Welcome back. Well, manufacturing may have weighed heavily on first quarter GDP, which contracted by 2.2%, but it continues being punted as a potential growth engine for the country. And with the manufacturing Indaba 2018 having kicked off today, what's being thrashed out are the ideas on what it will take to revitalize the sector and its growth potential as we approach the fourth industrial revolution, where emerging manufacturing technologies are expected to challenge the status quo and transform the industry as we know it. Joining me in studio to take a closer look at the potential for Industry 4.0 are Philippa Rotseth, who's Executive Director of the Manufacturing Circle, and Tsediso Desanyane, who's a Senior Economist at the Export Credit Insurance Corporation. Welcome to you both, and thanks so much for joining me in studio. I'm going to start off, Philippa, with you, where we talk about the fourth industrial revolution taking hold. To what extent is South Africa's manufacturing sector on that bandwagon compared to other regions, specifically compared to our emerging market peers?
South Africa has been categorized as sitting in nascent position in terms of where we are in embracing new technologies. But that is not necessarily a problem or an issue, and this is the very reason why we're having the key theme of the manufacturing Indaba. In our particular economy, we need to unpack and understand what that really means to us. What does the fourth industrial revolution mean? Regarding technology, Internet of Things, automation, and the like. And where are there the opportunities for manufacturing, and where are the challenges? Mm-hmm. So how can we use technology to augment our current processes, to become more competitive, to become more productive, but at the same time be mindful that we don't replace jobs and employees with robots, but rather look at opportunities for shifting what current occupations and in the manufacturing sphere entail, and how those can, how we need extra skills so that we still maintain employees, but perhaps in a slightly different aspect.
So while those are the questions that are being asked, it seems to be more a case of easier said than done when it comes to actually implementing, some of the policies that would see us garner traction when it comes to growth in the manufacturing sector. What are some of the challenges that have to be taken into consideration in your book impacting the sector's trajectory right now?
Yeah, we all know that it's been a government objective to expand and increase the manufacturing base of South Africa. But if you look at statistics over the past 10 years or so, the sector has been stagnating somewhat. Mm-hmm. And the biggest impact has been imports, cheap imports from the Far East. Besides those external issues, there's also been domestic issues, the cost pressures in terms of wages, electricity costs, and other administrative costs that are imposed by government. Now, how do you really shift that? Definitely at the local level, government has been trying to enforce local content regulations by ensuring that SOEs, your government entities such as your Eskom, Transnets of this world, that they procure manufactured goods from companies that are producing them here in South Africa. But there's also been a drive to ensure that our people or our exporters do get market access into the continent, because that's where the direction of our manufactured export is going. If I can just give you some statistics, over the past 2 years or so, 70% of our manufactured exports have been going into the continent, and that's where we need to really focus our efforts at, in terms of opening up the markets for South African exporters. We as the ECIC, we've been trying to assist in that regard, also enforcing local content regulations. We mandate our local exporters to procure or to produce 70% of their produce from local facilities before they can even entertain thinking about joining our scheme. So from that angle, we've been able to ensure that there is market access for our exporters.
Of course, a key to gaining that competitive advantage in the face of cheap imports, in the face of rising costs, Philippa, has been the adoption of more mechanized processes. How much of the slow adoption rate that we're seeing in South Africa, as far as that is concerned, is a result of appropriate regulatory frameworks not being in place supportive of industry growing in that way?
The DTI at the moment is in the process of formulating and investigating very closely policy related to the impact of Industry 4.0 and what that means to our economy. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly something that is very high on the agenda and very much on the radar. So from a policy point of view, what we really need to look at is a general adaptation and agility to new changes. And in the DTI's, in support of the DTI, the Industrial Policy Action Plan, the 10th iteration that was launched at the beginning of this year, looks specifically at Industry 4.0 and what type of policy support is required. One particular example is a program that's a pilot program that the DTI supported, having a look at the kind of skills that are required for manufacturing jobs of the future. And this is a very exciting pilot program that is going to be expanded.
Because, Sidiso, without the training and the skills development, this transition will be viewed more as a risk to jobs, and that making mechanization or industrialization a very socio-economic or socio-political hot potato. Do you see enough incentives being put on the table for the manufacturing space, for business owners who demonstrate a significant contribution to job creation?
Yeah, this definitely a whole lot of government incentives that will be able to support the manufacturing industry. I think at the end of the day, government is trying to meet the private sector halfway in terms of crowding in their investment. Some of the incentives that are there really sector specific. From the clothing and textiles point of view, you have the automotive production development program. You have your agro processing support mechanism, and I think in recent years we've heard talk about the Black Industrialist Scheme. Yes, there is this part that is being played back by government, but at the end of the day, financial institutions and other development finance institutions need to play their role from a debt financing point of view, because mm-hmm. government is really trying to meet those institutions halfway.
Where government is trying to meet institutions like that halfway, Philippa, do you see there being enough collaboration between public-private sector? Because that will be the key to really opening up things on this front.
There can always be more collaboration and more coordination. Industrial policy by its very nature is complex because we're dealing with value chains, ecosystems, upstream and downstream linkages. So even within industry itself, there's quite a lot of coordination that is required.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there. Thank you both for having joined me in studio this evening. Of course, Philippa Rotseth is Executive Director of the Manufacturing Circle, and Sidiso Disanyana is a Senior Economist at the Export Credit Insurance Corporation.